Bob and Charlene Steinkamp, founders of Rejoice Marriage Ministries, invite you into their living room in Pompano Beach, Florida, for a telephone conference call. Let's join other men and women from across the land who are seeking God's restoration of their marriage.
We welcome you once again down our way to South Florida for a Sunday afternoon conference call of some of the greatest people in the world, men and women who are praying and trusting God, standing for the restoration of a marriage. The whole world can tell them to forget it. I just read an email from a lady who said, my pastor said it's time to apply tough love. But we know the love that God can apply. Thank you for giving up your next 90 minutes or part of it to be with us. And we're just so honored and so grateful. Charlene will be introducing three guests to you. Carla from Ohio, Linda from Florida, who has a restored marriage, and Scott from the other end of Florida, way out in the panhandle. So they're like in two different states. But we thank God that he's made this possible once again, that everything worked, and we're all connected together with you. Let's pray, and then my wife will introduce everyone in a bit more detail. Father God, thank you, like I said, that you do make it possible for us to do things like this. But God, beyond that, we make it possible that for you to make it to restore marriages. Lord, we ask this afternoon as Eddie is here praying that people's hearts will be touched, that prodigals will be moved to make that first step toward home. God, thank you for my wife and thank you for what you've done for our marriage and thank you for using us. We have no idea why you've chosen to. We seem like the most unlikely and certainly the most unworthy. But God, thank you for the ability you've given my wife to teach. Thank you for each guest we have today. May they share something that is just what this person who's listening needs to hear. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're thrilled to have all three of our guests here. And each guest is always very important every month as we feel that God, I start praying, okay, Lord, I need three people to say yes and to answer us when we start hunting for three guests. And we heard from somebody that's brand new as of October that found us and signed up for Charlene Cares, I believe. And it was Carla, and she communicated with us. And so I emailed her, and I said, we love to have new people on our telephone conference because they don't have all the pat answers, and they will be honest enough to say, I don't know, understand this or that, and maybe get us some questions for today. But we're just praying that Carla will be blessed and encouraged today as she listens and as she shares. And her husband's been gone a little while. So this is Carla. I'm not going to pick on her first to speak because hopefully she's heard one of our teleconferences. But I'll pick on Scott. Scott has been done this twice. And what we do is when we ask them to introduce themselves, tell a little bit of how you came to know the Lord or how you rededicated your life to the Lord, because I know when I started standing, I had been a Christian for many years, but I became so, when Bob left and everything fell apart in our marriage, I found out that when I cried out to God, I really found out I had not had that personal, deep personal relationship with him and really turned to him for all the questions and answers that I needed. I was taking surveys, and I did take surveys, and that's how I got divorced. And God was very good. He just let me do my own thing until after the divorce. And then he said, okay, 2 months after my divorce, he says, okay, now I'm telling you loud and clear, you're to stand and wait for your husband to come home for life. And there was no doubt about it. He said, you married for life. You've got a covenant. You're to wait. Because Bob started planning a wedding 2 years down the road. So I knew what I knew. I had to stand for life and be obedient to my Lord. So Scott, tell us a little bit. I know you were on here once, but probably the other people weren't here that time. So tell us a little about your relationship with the Lord in your, we don't use spouse's name, but you can tell us how long you've been married and about any children.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to say thanks, Charlene and Bob, for you and your website, because it's provided quite a bit of help and support for me during the last 2 years. Oh, nothing. hold on. You have to excuse me. My son's asking me how to use the microwave right now.
I was just going to say, now those are the voices of little babes. And
yes.
We know that when we have the guests, they have got to get everybody quiet, including dogs. Kim can relate to that from Nebraska. And it's all part of being a live, true teleconference. So don't apologize. Because Scott is the primary, I believe, father and caretaker of his child, are you not?
Yes. I've been fortunate enough to have Ethan live with me the past 2 years. But yeah, as I said before, thanks a lot for you and your website and all the stuff that you do. Going throughout this, obviously, people change a lot, and I've changed a lot in the past 2 years, but one thing I keep on going back to is Charlene cares, and the assurances that you constantly remind everybody of.
Praise the Lord.
But my situation, my wife left around 2 years ago. We have one son, his name is Ethan, and he's 8 years old right now. So my wife moved far away, and when she first left, we communicated a lot. We spoke on the phone every day, and we had a small coming back together. And it lasted for about 2 months, and then all of a sudden, just like the snap of a fingers, everything changed again, and she became real distant, and I'd say probably for a very long time, communication just dwindled, and situation just kept on getting worse and worse. But during that time, I came to know the Lord. I was raised in the house where we went to church, but it really wasn't an important aspect of life at all. And I walked away from it for many, many years. But all the troubles with the family helped trigger me back into a relationship with God. So while everything was kind of going its own direction, my relationship with God was growing stronger and stronger. So as of recently, me and my wife have been communicating a little bit better. We don't talk about the relationship, but just the communication's opening up, and things aren't as bad as, or whatever. I mean, that's just a good thing. So,
that is a praise. That is a big thing. And you know what? Treat her just as gold, and as if you were starting to date, just talk nicely about not heavy subjects, and just let God do the rest. She's testing the waters, and praise the Lord that you've got the communication again. We need to have that communication, especially with the children and all.
Mm-hmm.
But we need communication, even if you don't have children. Children are not a necessity to have a marriage restored, and I get that question asked so many times. And you don't need children. You became a husband and wife like Adam and Eve, and it said be fruitful, but it doesn't mean you weren't fruitful beforehand. Don't worry about it. God says you're married. For life, you have a covenant. So I just answered one question right now. So we're thrilled to have you, Scott. And last but not least, but special to us, is Linda. And Linda is special to us because she's local.
Honey, not last, because you haven't done Carla.
Oh, I'm going to do Carla back. I'm going to do Carla back. I gave her a break to listen. But Linda is special to us because she is from Pompano, and she has a restored marriage. But you have yet to meet her husband because it hasn't been the perfect timing, because he's a truck driver, as she will tell you in just a second. But Linda, we're thrilled to have you. She contacted me. She's coming to Bible study with a couple of other people in the future, and was telling me about that, and I knew that she was the one to have a restored marriage, because she has just been a blessing to our Bible study. Whenever she comes in, she shares. And Linda, we're thrilled to have you be able to share that God does heal and restore and reconcile marriages. Are you there, Linda? Have we lost Linda, Bob?
No. It doesn't look like it.
Okay. You may have to have Allie come back in and call her. Carla, I'm going to pick on you.
Okay.
We're thrilled to have you, and I know you found us just a few months ago. But can you tell a little bit about yourself, your walk with the Lord, and how you came to Him, and if you've grown in the Lord recently, and a little bit about your family?
Okay. I've been married for 20 years. I've been a Christian most of my life. I kind of got away from that and when I married my husband, and we were married for about 4 years before we had a child. And when we had our first child, that's what brought me back to God, because it was like I was so thankful for everything He had given me, my life. You know, I had this wonderful child, I had a wonderful husband, and I started back in church at that point and kind of grew and, you know, wanted to bring my kids up in church and did that. And my husband was always okay with that, but he never went to church. He never participated and never saw a need for it in his life. And then last year is when, in February, is when he, you know, told me he didn't love me anymore. And you know, for the all of 2009, he's pretty much, if he was there, but he wasn't there emotionally. And then finally in the fall is when he left. And just like everybody else could probably testify to, the advice I got was, you're better off without him. Move on. God's got somebody else planned for you. And for about a day, I could feel okay with that. And then I'd be like, no, that just something doesn't feel right. And I searched for, I read every book on marriage restoration I think that's out there, and everything kept saying the couple were both Christians. And I was just like, okay, well, that's it. Since he's not a Christian, I have no hope. And then one day I typed in an internet search, hopeless marriages, and found Rejoice Ministries. And from the moment I found it, it was just a light was shining, like, yes, there is a chance and there is hope and nothing is hopeless with God. And through all of this, I mean, I thought I had a strong relationship with God, but going through this, I have found that I didn't, or that it's always able to get closer. And the walk that I have now with God is just amazing. And for that reason alone, I don't want to sound like I'm thankful that I'm going through this hard time, but there has been some praise in it that it has drawn me closer to God. And ultimately, I know that the prayer that I have been saying for years, God, please save my husband, that, you know, maybe this is His way of doing that. That, you know,
I agree.
You know, yeah, that this is what it may take for him to be saved. And this is a prayer I've been praying for years, and God's finally going to answer that. But it's just taken an interesting turn.
And how many children do you have?
I have 3 kids, and they are all teenagers. The oldest is 16. And I actually was thinking about that last week, and I actually said something to them last week about that. They don't know the whole story, obviously they know their dad has left. But I told them, don't you dare think that this is just about your dad and I. Don't you dare think that this is not Satan attacking you guys, attacking all 5 of us. You guys, being teenagers, you're very vulnerable right now, and Satan is attacking your parents to get to you guys, as well as attacking your dad and I. And, you know, this is a fight, an entire family fight. This is not just a marriage fight. This is a family fight, and we've got to be strong. And
have any of them come to know the Lord yet?
They all knew the Lord before this happened. But I don't think their walk is very strong, and especially since this has happened. My daughter especially is not real thrilled about going to church, and I think if I allowed her to, she would stop.
Right.
So I know it is.
Well,
definitely.
The rule I had is, if you're living in our house, the rule is you have to go to church. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe that's, you know, there has to be some rules in our homes as parents, and I think that one of the hardest things as teenagers is they start, that's where they start. And the prayer that I would pray, that I would suggest all parents to pray, is to get into a church that you have a fantastic youth group, mm-hmm. especially a counselor where they have a husband and wife counselors for youth pastors or something. Youth pastors are awesome, and that they can connect with them, because they need to be able to talk to people and be able to understand. Our daughter especially got very connected with her youth pastor, and they still are friends. You know, when this 15 years later, and I'll tell you, it's excellent. And they get to see each other every so often when they come down to visit. But we need to keep the kids in prayer. There's nothing more important where the enemy is going to hit us next is attacking our children.
Speaking of the enemy hitting, can you see if you have Linda again, I think?
Okay. Linda, are you hearing us yet?
Hello?
Praise the Lord.
Oh,
Linda.
Thank you, Lord.
Linda, this is where the devil heads us.
I'm just laughing because the enemy has just been attacking me all week. But you know what? Praise God.
Well, praise the Lord. We were just talking to Carla, who is the newest one on the group, and she's got three children that are 16, 13, and 12, teenagers. And she has just said that she's grown to the Lord more, and that her husband had never accepted the Lord through their 20 years of marriage. And I told her that the most important thing, and they're not wanting to go to, one of them is not wanting to go to church. And I said, well, that's where we get to be parents and say you need to go, and how important youth pastor and youth ministries.
Absolutely.
And get involved in a strong church that's got a real awesome ministry. Or even go with friends that have a strong youth ministry and pray about that. I'm not just talking to Carl, but I'm talking to the ones that are listening also. But we need to get our kids involved and connected to a youth ministry, because hopefully they're going to be really teaching them the Word of God, the power of prayer, and all that we need to get them taught to understand, to be able to say no to the temptations that they're going to have. This last but not least, as I was introducing you so beautifully, Linda, until I found out you weren't there, is special because she has got a restored marriage, and she's been coming to Bible study faithfully for quite a while, and then she got dwindled back, as always, when the husband comes home, and she gets involved with mentoring and ministering to other people, but Linda brings in people all the time, and the ones that have restored marriages always bring in other people, and that's the neat part into our Bible study. But Linda has a truck driver, and she's going to tell her about her husband and a little bit, and about her children. But anyway, we stand for life, and that, Carla, I think that's the most important thing that you've learned already is is you're going to be, if you haven't learned yet reading Charlene Tears, you are going to be standing for life, standing and praying for your marriage, for your children, your grandchildren, and all the people that the Lord brings around you. And I think that that is one of the most important things that I think everybody is wanting to get out of doing, is having a responsibility to praying for others or praying for their spouse. And Linda, let me just have you tell us a little bit of how you came to know the Lord, and if you grew when all your marriage crumbled, and where are you now and what's happening with your husband?
Well, I had accepted Christ at 12 years old in the Baptist Church in South Carolina, because that's where I'm from. And so I've been a Christian all my life. Relationship, I developed a relationship, a real relationship, after working and serving in a church for 15 years. I did the church thing. I came to church, I sat in the pews, I listened to the service, then I went back home. And I didn't really develop a relationship, a close relationship, walk with God, until about 6 or 7 years ago. Only getting stronger about the last 5 years. I've been married now. This year will be our 30th year, praise God. And my husband left about 10 years ago to go on the road to drive truck long distance. And at that time, you know, I had two children that were still in middle school and high school. But my relationship with God, going back to that, only grew stronger after he left, because, you know, when the head's gone, everything else falls apart. And my husband has been driving now for the last 10 years, and he is trying to get employment closer to home, but it's been really, really tough And I learned about Charlene actually from a person that I didn't even know of in Georgia. Her name's Virginia, and she had been a faithful reader of the of Charlene Cares. And I heard about her. I learned about Charlene from this woman who I was involved with a prayer line. And we connected because we both had marital issues. So she came to Florida, and she brought me actually to Charlene Cares and the ministry. And it was just it just took off from there. I've been coming now faithfully for the last 5 years. And I'll tell you, the inspiration, the encouragement is exactly what I needed after my husband left. Now, it's important to know that my husband didn't divorce. We just were separated spiritually, we were separated physically, and our marriage was just basically dead. And through the listening to Charlene, coming to the Bible study, just hearing what she has to say about the relation, having a relationship with God and letting that be first in your life, just inspired me to not focus on my dead marriage. And I found out as I'm not focusing on my situation, God brought my husband and I closer and closer together. So I'm just so thankful for this ministry. There's none like it, Charlene. Believe me. There's none like it, and I can tell you that from even in the churches now, people are not telling people to reconcile their marriages. They're telling them that, you know, there's an alternative, and that's one of the first things that I learned in coming to Rejoice is that marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract. Yeah. And I'm just so grateful to be a part of the ministry, and I'm just thankful.
Well, we're thrilled to have everybody here tonight. And we're thrilled that everybody's connected right now. I'm going to open up with a scripture and to get us off and start discussing some different issues. But I believe that everybody can say that they are hurting and they're discouraged, and many feel their marriage is hopeless because of the circumstances that they're looking at. And we continually say, stop looking at your circumstances. It's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants to play it rewind in your mind. And we have teachings on our website for CDs that can tell you all the subjects that you probably think about. We've got the subjects because we have. I know I cannot say it enough. And you have to keep rewinding it and playing in your mind till you get victory over it. But in Romans chapter 5, and I hope everybody has their Bible. I hope everybody has a book, a notebook, or a pen, because you're going to need it if you want to write any of these down. But hopefully we're going to throw a bunch of scriptures to you in the next few minutes. But in Romans chapter 5, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace, which we now have. And the most important thing that I want to give you encouragement is that you all need to write down the word faith. You need to walk in faith and victory. And we're going to ask all three of these people how they think they're developing their faith. But it's through whom we have access by faith through into this grace in which we now stand. Now, how do I like the scripture? Well, because I like the scripture, it says we now stand. Because every one of us needs to stand. Stand firm. And that's another scripture that we'll hopefully get to today. But we need to stand firm. We need to hold on and just visualize that you're in maybe in a trolley car, in a train where you're standing up and you're holding on to a pole, but you need to stand firm. You need to stand firm holding on to your Lord Jesus Christ's hand. And it says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know, and it says, we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that our suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And the reason I love this scripture so much is that it talks about that we're to rejoice in our sufferings. And if there's anything that we talk about also is that to praise the Lord in your circumstances. Thank him that he is in control. He's going to move him. And Lord, I praise you because if I praise you, the devil and the enemy is defeated who is trying to get us to give up. And so I think all of us, I know in my personal stand, suffering does produce perseverance. Perseverance does produce character. We change. Either we're going to change to be bitter, angry, hostile spouses, or we're going to change to be loving and more patient and more unconditional love, or we can use tough love. And to me, this is, says produces perseverance, character, and hope. And there is nothing more important for any stander than is than hope. But our hope has to be in our Lord Jesus Christ, in his mighty power and his mighty strength and all that he can do for us. And that is why we believe strongly that you need to connect and hopefully get a daily Charlene Cares and go to all the free CDs and the free messages that we have on our website, which is huge, because there's people around the world that we're ministering to. We now even have two people that are translating, two beautiful ladies, Laura and Dorita, who are transcribing Spanish, Charlene Cares into Spanish, which is expanding our Spanish website. So we are so blessed. It's not just, and think of all the people in America that speak Spanish. So we just got to get our hope. Now, who wants to be first about what the scripture could mean and suffering produces? Do you see how your character and how your hope is coming? Carla, may I pick on you first because you're the newest?
Sure.
But do you see this happening in your own self, and have you gotten connected to the Lord giving you hope?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I was just thinking about it this week because when I first started standing, when I first found your website and first time I had hope and believed that God was going to restore my marriage, it just like you said, you get such a responsibility to pray not just for your marriage and not just your family, but everybody around you. And I have such a heart now for other people's marriages, and there's people who I work with who I know have problems in their marriages. And it was funny because I was praying for a number of people who have marriage problems, but this week I found out that two of them are back together with their husbands.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But my first thought was, well, God, why did you heal their marriage and not mine? And then it hit me. It's like, Carla, your prayers are being answered.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just when I you know, it was almost like God slapping me upside the face, but it was good because it was like, oh, yeah, that is true. Mm-hmm. And if he's hearing those prayers and he's answering those prayers, he's hearing all of my prayers, and mm-hmm. he's going to answer all my prayers. And I, you know, to be honest with you, I think that there were some issues in my marriage before 2009, and I think God was trying to get me to work on them. But I, you know, it was almost like it took this before I woke up and said, "Oh, hey, I better do something."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a shame, but I think sometimes there's some of us out there who, unless we go through some rough times, we're never going to have that perseverance. You know, it's the only way we're going to get that faith is because...
Yeah, we're slow learners.
Yeah, exactly.
True.
So, yeah, I mean, I think, and I'm definitely one of those where I was, you know, I knew that there was problems with my marriage, and I was praying, God, do something. You got to do something. You got to change him. You got to, you know, instead of looking at myself and saying, oh, okay, wait a minute. Maybe if I change, or maybe if I, you know, if I stop praying to change him and start praying to change me, prayer, maybe something will happen. And, I don't think anything would have changed until this happened. I think we would have just both been kind of content to go along, and I think God is using this to
Well, I think he wants both you and your spouse saved.
Yes.
And you've been praying for your unbelieving husband, and there are so many people in churches that have we see in either a spouse, the man, but most commonly the woman, comes to church with their kids, and they start at an early age, and sooner or later they keep praying for their spouse to go with them. And we have many different songs that we use in different times, because they're especially on the Stop Divorce radio and on the internet that we have, and it's telling us that, you know what, God all of a sudden sends the two shoes, the husband's two shoes walking down the aisle, or the woman's shoes, all of a sudden she has a desire to come to church, and we hear that and we read it in our testimonies. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14, for anybody that was listening, their spouse is not saved, it says, for the unbelieving husband or wife has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. And I think that's what we need to understand, that this is so important, is that we've got to, and that is what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But Linda or Scott, you'd like to speak on the suffering aspect, perseverance, character, hope?
Oh, definitely. When I first came to you, Charlene, I came up with kind of like a puffed up attitude, thinking that I had it all together spiritually, and God showed me that I needed to work on a lot of things with myself. So we have to ask ourselves this question, you know, when we're talking about our marriage problems and situation and how we got there, I think it's equal responsibility, and God allowed me to see that there are a lot of things I needed to change. So as I began to read 1 Peter 3, where he talks about that if your husband doesn't know the word, that you could win him over by your conduct, it began, that scripture just rang in my heart, because there are a lot of things that I needed to address in my spiritual walk, and we can't have that condemnation attitude toward our spouse if they're not saved. Now, my husband has always been saved, but we weren't really walking the talk. We weren't really, you know, exercising the faith and doing the God's work and God's will. So that makes a big difference, and I tell you, it has made a difference in our lives, because now, you know, my husband, when I started to change, my husband started to change. When my heart softened, his heart softened, and then the communication was much better, because someone yielded to God's word and was just obedient. And I think that's important. So that has really grown me and matured me, the fact that I had to work on myself first.
Yeah, I agree, Linda. And, you know, I know I was a career woman, and I would come home. I had been running the office all day long and running the doctors and the staff, and mm-hmm. when I came home, I think I continued running the show,
mm-hmm.
and instead of letting Bob be the head,
mm-hmm.
and didn't honor him as I needed to,
mm-hmm.
and I think that is one of the biggest mistakes that I made, and I think a lot of women do not allow their husbands to be husbands and to be the head of the house. The kids will say, Dad, can I do this? And they'll say no. And then all of a sudden, they'll go to their mother and say, oh, yeah, go ahead, let him do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just demeans everything the father just said. And we have got to learn to be submissive to our husbands.
Absolutely.
And the women don't like to hear that word, but in chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, wives, in the same ways, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and the reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is great worth in God's sight. So that's a good word. Scott,
one more thing, Charlene. I had to realize that I was not doing those things, and God, those were some of the things that God brought to my attention, that I was not allowing my husband to lead as he was supposed to be leading. And God calls us to be submissive, not to really to our husbands, but he's really calling us to be submissive to him. And when we're submissive to God, we won't have a problem being submissive to our husbands.
True. Scott.
Well, just listen to that, what you guys were just saying. I sit on the other side of the fence as the husband. And my wife, she did demonstrate submissiveness and all that stuff. But because I didn't have a relationship with the Lord, I didn't understand that my command was to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Mm-hmm. I had no conception about what that meant. Mm-hmm. It falls apart if both pieces aren't in place. And,
you're right.
But my wife's submissive attitude, it did, she had a relationship with the Lord, and I served to kind of pull her away in aspects, but she still maintained a personal relationship with God, and that undoubtedly had an effect on me and my relationship with God as well. But back to Romans 5, in verse 2, he says, "And we exult in the hope of the glory of God." And that's where, it's kind of like a big thing for my stand, is that I've been standing for about 2 years, and for a long time there was very, very little communication, and things looked very bleak. But and obviously I waver. I mean, I'm a person with doubts and stuff. But when I sit down and I know right there, exulting in the hope of the glory of God, I ask myself lots of times. I sit down and I say, well, what would glorify God most? And I realized that the restoration of my marriage, knowing now what I know about marriage, that marriage is essentially a reflection of God's relationship with a person, understanding that, I realized the magnitude of importance of actually standing for marriage and standing forever as well. God's relationship with us isn't conditional. It isn't something that he backs away from at all, but rather it's he waits. For me, he waited. I didn't convert until I was 27 years old. So he waited 27 years for me, and I don't know how realizing that, how I can turn away from a marriage, you know, so easily. So that's one thing. God helps, he helps reinforce that, and he works through that way, using tribulations and using struggles to help impress those lessons on us.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me give you another two scriptures that might help us also, and anybody wants to comment. It's Romans 15, which is a few pages over, in verses 4, and it says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." And I am buried in learning and doing the ABCs of marriage restoration. It's just starting a CD set and a book. And I just, when I'm reading this, I'm going E, endurance, E, encouragement. Okay, Lord, I got those. And we need to learn our ABCs in marriage restoration. And you know what? Your kids have got to go to school at least 12 years. And some of them have gone to pre-K, and some went to the four-year-old classes, and then the others then say, okay, well, if you want a career, if you really want to make enough money to support your family, you're going to need to go to college. And there's going to go for 4 years of college. And then if you need to do even further, you may have a master's that you may have to get. And what I'm trying to say is, I think that we standers, I know myself included, back how many years ago when I was standing, we wanted everything instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. we didn't want to be told that it was going to, that so through endurance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. Mm-hmm. And I cannot say, and I hope everybody that's, if we're at the beginning of a new year, will understand the most important thing we need to do every day is read God's holy word.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I would really recommend you do it with some sort of where you keep score on what you're doing. If you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and reading just the Gospels, or just reading the New Testament, especially if you're a new Christian, go to the New Testament if you want. That might help you more. But if not, if you guys are getting rooted, then go to Genesis and start reading one chapter a day, even, you know, in the Old Testament. But you need to endure, and you need to know the power and what the Lord is going to give to you by reading the Word of God, and how that, when you read the Word of God, it's going to give you hope. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to read one more scripture before the comments. Verse 13, on the same chapter 15, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And dear Standard, this is for all of you that are listening, because I wish I could sit down and hold your hands and pray with you today. And I wish all of these three people could do likewise. But we want you today to know that the God of hope is right here. He is ready to give you, excuse me, all the hope that you need to stand firm in what you're doing and believing for a miracle. I know your parents, your in-laws, your husband, your church, your pastor may not be the encouragers for you, but you've got to find one strong prayer partner that is maybe had a marriage for 40, 50 years that believes in marriage restoration, and you get that one person to pray with you, or it may be somebody at work that's a prayer warrior, but you need to get one person, and then you know that they're going to be praying for you, and you can do it, because you got the Lord, you got the power of the Holy Spirit. But it says the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace, and that's my hope and prayer, is I want to have God take that pain away that you have right now. I want God to give you joy and peace that's beyond understanding. You can stand and not hurt all the time. And it says, and you can trust in him. And you can overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't really, truly met and talked to the Holy Spirit, who the Lord has left as the greatest counselor, when he arose and went to the Lord's side, you got to know that you know that the Holy Spirit's right there with you. And you need to talk to him and say, "Lord, Holy Spirit, I need you to tell me and guide and direct my steps every day." And so I hope these two scriptures of those really touch all of you. And read them over again. In fact, I'll give you an assignment. Memorize them like you tell your kids to memorize their multiplication tables, or like you've taught your children or your grandchildren to do multiplication tables. We need to memorize some scripture and get it in our spirit so we can speak it when the enemy comes against us. Anybody want to talk?
I agree.
This is Linda.
The Word of God is living, and it's powerful, and it needs to be used to speak to all of our situation and circumstances. And the enemy doesn't want you to spend time with God. But I started out with Charlene has these, just to show you how not in technology I am. I used to buy the tapes, and I used to listen to them as I run. And you know how long that's been.
That's true.
But those tapes really inspired me. And you know, talking about putting on the armor of God. When you wake up in the morning, you should be thinking and putting on your armor, because the enemy is just waiting around the corner to just attack you, to get you to not work on your marriage and not pray for your husband and not pray for your wife. because he doesn't want your marriage reconciled. But the Word of God is living and is to be used to fight your battles. It is the sword, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So I agree. You have to learn your scriptures. Charlene talks a lot about writing down your scriptures on prayer on cards to memorize your scriptures, so because they really do come in handy when you're up against something.
Amen. And also I think important is, and especially since Carla has children, and I know we all three of you have children and at different ages, but I think we also have to try to do a devotion time with the children when they're young enough that they're not going to rebel. But even now, if you just even have a devotion time, even after supper, maybe 5 minutes, and maybe it'll be a hard 5 minutes for you, but you need to stand and make them understand that a devotion time is important, and it can be a quick little book that they have at the Christian bookstores, and it can relate to kids in school or college or whatever, but we need to teach the kids these scriptures and teach them how important the Word is. Carla and all of them, even with Ethan, we do not know if they're going to turn out to be the Billy Grahams. We do not know if they're going to be men of God to be used, if they're going to be the missionaries across the seas to help Haiti. We don't know the assignment our children have. And we know the enemy is out to steal their assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to stand in the gap for these children, regardless of their age, because the devil is... The Lord has a call on their life, and the devil wants to steal it.
Mm-hmm.
Carla.
Yeah, that is so important. And you know what I have found helpful with the verses, reading the Bible every day? It helps my prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not a great prayer, but I'm getting better. And part of that is with the Word of God. And that's something that, you know, I've learned from Charlene, is take the scriptures and give them back to God. And it is funny because I had never noticed that until I started reading Charlene Cares about them leaping off the pages.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and they do now. And it is so funny because it's like I have a one-year Bible. So, you know, there's a section you read every
right.
day.
That's
and
excellent.
I've done that for years. And there's scriptures I read now where I'm like, I didn't notice that. We're
mm-hmm.
missed that day. And it truly speaks to you when you open up and you're ready for it, they will be there for you. And it's really energized my prayer life because of taking the scriptures and praying them back to God.
Mm-hmm.
That has really helped me because I know that there's power in that, and I just feel like I feel like things, my own prayers are kind of weak, but when I'm using God's words, it gives them power, which helps
Amen.
Me have better hope of them.
Absolutely. My husband and I, we do have a devotion every morning with the kids. By the way, I have two adult kids that are still my daughters, and well, both of them are in school. But every morning we have devotion. We use a book by Oswald Chambers. It's pretty heavy. But it's very thought provoking, but they have been really getting into that, and at first they were like, yeah, but now they look forward to it. They get up and they participate, and my children are learning to pray, just by that. And my husband initiated this, so
that's huge.
It is we went from him not being involved at all to one day he called me and he said, I want us to have devotion with the kids every morning. So I'm like, yes sir.
Wow, that's
yes.
awesome.
So it's really been a blessing, and my kids are learning, and it's not too late. That's what I wanted to say. Even though it's great, like Charlene said, to start them early so that, you know, the Bible tells us to bring them up so that in the ways of the Lord so that they will not depart. But you can start where you are. You just have to make a commitment and just make it something that you mandate in your house, because they still do live under your roof, and as long as they do, you know, there are things that you would require them to do, and it's only for them. You know, our Father, just like He gives us, gives us, you know, He loves us, so He tells us what to do. We have to, He's entrusted us with our children. We have to teach them so that they will grow up and know the ways of the Lord.
Amen. Scott.
Oh, if I could just relate some of my personal experience. Being a relatively new Christian, when I first started relying on the Bible, I'd read through books of the Bible, and it was great. But after a while, that diminished a little bit, and I found myself in a time of struggle or a situation present itself. I would kind of frantically go to the Bible and open it up and hope that God would give me something. And sometimes He did. At the beginning, He would help me out quite a bit. But after a period of time, that wasn't working good, and I knew that wasn't the right way to be approaching it. And recently, I did start a Read the Bible in a Year type of program, and just my personal experience with it, it's pretty amazing, because when you read through the daily message, sometimes the daily message that's prescribed for that day, it does have relevance. I usually read in the morning, and all of a sudden something will come up, and it'll be like, wow, I just read something about that. But another thing is that you cover terrain, and there's some things that kind of stuck out, and I, like one that sticks out, I'm reading through Isaiah, which is a very difficult book to read through, but Hezekiah has a prayer in there, and I'm like, wow, that's a really good prayer, and I highlighted that. And a few days later, I needed to fall back on that, and I'm like, I know exactly what would work in this situation, you know. So I went back and got to utilize that, so that's where I believe it is, really. My pastor's also been, that's been a theme of his for the past couple of weeks, is having a daily study thing. As with Ethan, one little thing that we do, on days when we get together and we have supper, which is every day, but sometimes we're rushing around more often than not. But if everything kind of lines up, I have them pick out a number, 1 through 150, and then we read the psalm of whatever number he picked out.
Oh,
and
that's good.
If it's good and it makes sense to me, we'll talk about it and we'll try to point some stuff out. But sometimes the Psalms, I mean, I don't understand the stuff right away. The Bible's it's a good book, and it's complex and deep, and I don't understand a lot of it. And if it's not something that I can talk about or speak to at all, we give a quick prayer and say, well, God, you know, tomorrow, give us something that, you know, that's really good for us, and then we just kind of press on from there. But that works, and he enjoys it quite a lot. It's pretty amazing the way it works out sometimes.
Scott, what version are you using?
I use a New American Standard, but also I like the New King James Version as well.
Okay, because you might even try, while you're a brand new Christian, you might try a Living Bible, the Living Bible or the Message. Those two, and just look at them at the bookstore and see if they might be easier for you to read and understand. And in a couple of years later from now, you might be able to chew on the other ones a little bit better. But new Christians, if they're having trouble with understanding, the Living Bible or the Message might help you get started. But we understand. I can still read scriptures now, and I have to say, but, you know, even a study Bible sometimes that people want to get into it helps you with little notes on explaining everything. So a study Bible sort of helps us be able to understand what they're saying, and it helps us clarify it. So you will grow that way. And I'm not talking just to Scott, because I know there's a lot of new people that come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through this crisis, through this pain and suffering, and they will open up the Bible and it seems like Greek or Spanish to them. But if you will just keep reading and asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to make you understand it, but But that's why a study Bible might help any of you also with that. Mm-hmm. But as we continue on, you know, I look at the questions that we received today, and I'll start on some questions right now. But especially people that have been standing, and they've got a brand new marriage, and they have no children, and they've been married only a year or so, and so many times, and I don't understand this, but they talk about, they said they've been divorced for several months, he's not a Christian, and lately he's been talking about coming home and possibly remarrying. My question is, how do I handle it? Is it wrong to live together without being married? You know, I was so blessed when Bob came home that God said to Bob, let's go over to the church and remarry right this very afternoon. And I didn't have to ponder what I was going to do. But the Lord told me I was married in God's eyes, regardless of what the state said. But I wanted to also, and the kids knew that, and knew that if Daddy came home, we were going to get married. But, you know, sometimes the spouse comes home before you get to do that instantly. And I think you all got to remember one thing, you're married in God's eyes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have a non-covenant now start contacting them, and they're wanting to know, is it all right to talk to them? And I would say again, all these people that we work with that have non-covenant marriages, that guy went and, or woman, legalized their adulterous situation. But in God's eyes, and it talks about that in Malachi and many mm-hmm. other places, that God is a living witness to your covenant of your youth. And so you're not committing adultery. You know, he was committing adultery or she was committing adultery, and they legalized the adultery. They didn't have a pastor or a man of God or somebody open up the Bible and say, you know, how did you meet? And say, whoa, you two shouldn't be getting married. And that's our problem. And I hope, I don't normally plug Charlene Cares over the telephone, but I hope everybody will read Charlene Cares today. Because it's a pastor that wrote to a spouse that had married someone else, and he said that they weren't adjusting to accepting their marriage problems they were having by this non-covenant marriage. And the pastor wrote a letter, and this is a true pastor that wrote to this true letter of saying, let me explain what is wrong with this. And he spoke from his heart, and what I pray that every one of us will continue to pray for the men of God to question before they marry, and you know, beyond that first marriage, that there's a widow or there's something there, because we need to pray that we don't keep getting into these second and third marriages that have trouble being a success, because mm-hmm. we're going against God's way and God's laws. And we need our pastors to teach these people that and show them that maybe they need to go back home to their first spouse. You know, not maybe, but, you know, I'm trying to be facetious at this moment. We need the men of God to really preach the Word of God mm-hmm. and open up the Bible and speak God's truth. So anyway, that is number one. So as far as we're concerned, if your spouse who is just married or is a non-covenant marriage and it's starting to call you every day, you should be jumping up and down shouting hallelujah mm-hmm. because that means he's not happy and he's miserable and he knows he's made a mistake and he doesn't see the way out, and you need to pray for God to speak to them and show them the way out. We need to pray for the spouses who are in non-covenant marriages, who are in adulterous relationships, who are not calling each of you every day, checking on you and the kids. We need to pray for them to have a burden and a love and a missing of you and your children's relationships, and that what their responsibility are as a mother, as a father, as children. We need them to be parents, and we want to pray for them to feel comfortable enough to call home. Let me ask you, Carla, Is your husband calling home and checking on the kids now?
Yes. You know, actually, he still spends a lot of time at the house. He has he actually has two jobs. He has his own business, and he's a bus driver. So he still has a lot of his business stuff at the house. And so he is at the house almost every day. And it's funny because when my unsaved friends at work, you know, heard what was going on, they were like, oh, you need to kick him out. You need to get him out completely. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? You know, and then, but I know that it's nice because it's a way that I can pray over his things. He still has some clothes at the house that I pray over. Mm-hmm. He, you know, I just walk through the house now praying, when he's here, God, let him feel your presence. Let him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good girl.
Yes, that is a huge, huge. And there are so many that say their spouses pop in and pop out. And I say, you have no idea how blessed you are. And that is a blessing. And if they want, and if you can feed him his favorite meals, and let him be the disciplinarian with your children, or help him feel like he's part of their lives, that is awesome. That is absolutely awesome.
As a matter of fact, she should continue acting as though, you know, you're still married.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That is still your husband, so you go along just like nothing is going on, you know, and just continue to behave in that way and let him take the lead and as he's supposed to, and you continue to be the wife in the relationship that God has called you to be, and just stay, and by all means, do not kick him out, please.
That's that tough
love. Turn away
love.
From those friends.
That's
to
the
tell
tough
you that.
Love that I did and I shouldn't have done. That's for sure. Tough love does not. I don't read the tough love in the Bible too much. Scott, do you want to share on that? I'm going to read a scripture after that.
No, I don't really have anything. Sorry.
I mean, I know Scott right now just said recently his wife is starting to communicate with him, and that's a huge praise, and that's what we want. In Romans chapter 12. Let me take you there. In verse 2, it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. Everybody wants to know, how do I know God's will? It's by you just saying, Lord, I want to surrender everything to you. I want you to transform me to be more like my Lord Jesus Christ. That's what his heart's goal, his desire, is we be more like Jesus. You know, the question you could say, and any question that you have, is what would Jesus do? Mm-hmm. When usually you have a question and you say, what would Jesus do? It's pretty easy to answer it, but we don't like that answer, because usually it's far more than what that we want to do. In Romans 12, verse 9, this is scripture Linda knows well. It's verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. This is Romans 12, verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keeping your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Now here's for a stander. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Now that means if you've got a spouse who has a short fused temper, you're going to do everything you can to keep peace in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not, you know, don't have this pride. Do not think you're everything. Verse 17, do not, and this is for standards again, do not repay anyone evil for evil. And how many of us have been taught or told to get even for what they're doing? We're not supposed to. We're to love them. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, and that's our own responsibility, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That means the spouses who are trying to divorce you or anything else. We're to live at peace.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 19, do not take revenge. And how many we read or hear want to take revenge on what all their spouses are doing? Don't. It says, my friends, leave room for God's wrath. Let God say, Lord, I give him to you. Lay him at the altar. Lay him at the Lord's feet every day. And say, Lord, you speak to them. You talk to them. You bring them to their senses. My friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's why we don't use tough love.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that is awesome because, you know, like I was talking to my friends at work, we're saying, I have a friend at work who's divorced and now she's living with another guy. And, you know, I will talk to her about her situation and, you know, I'll say, hey, how's it going? And she'll ask me how things are going. And, you know, one day she was telling me what was going on at her house and how she's not happy with this new guy. And she was complaining and I was like, gee, you know what? You're trying to help me out with my situation, but yours doesn't sound so great. You know, advice, you're living your advice, and it doesn't look like it's working out so hot for you. So, yeah, you know, and it's been such a nice testimony to be able to tell people because, you know, when people ask, why are you doing that? And I go, well, you know, that's what God's called me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a really great way to be able to share my faith with people to say,
exactly.
This is what God has called me to do. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a problem with it or if you don't like what I'm doing, maybe you could talk to God about it, and if he tells me to stop, I'll be happy to stop, but
he's not going to do that.
Yeah. So it's really cute. That's what I like telling that. I'm like, well, you know what, this is what God's telling me to do, but yeah, you know, feel free to talk to him and see if you can get him to change, because I haven't been able to get him to change yet. So,
well, let's talk about in the next 10 minutes about the prodigals that have someone else, the other person. And I don't think it's going to even take 10 minutes, but if it does, great, no problem. I just had an email, and one of the questions is, why does the other person have so much control, influence over our prodigals? Why do they stay stuck in these adulterous relationships? And yet they'll do anything, or you know, for the other person. And Bob has written so many books about this. But Bob, did you just pick up? I hope.
Yes, I did.
Oh, praise the Lord! Because I knew I wanted to get into this, but I was hoping. But Bob,
I've been listening. I haven't been absent.
Okay, I just really think we need to talk about the other people because they look like they are winning everything. And we need to try to give hope and encouragement to these standards that are listening and they have another person in their spouse's life. Do you want to make a little speech first?
I go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say that the Lord took me to Hosea chapter 2. And this is a scripture that I would recommend any and all people to pray. And it's Hosea chapter 2, verses 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better off than now. Now I want to tell you that Hosea was told by God, who had an unfaithful wife, to marry her, even though she was an adulterous wife and a children of unfaithfulness. And in chapter 3, the Lord said, go show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred brazen cakes. And it's it's such a powerful chapter in the Bible of Hosea showing how much he loves the Israelites, God truly loving the Israelites, but he kept telling Hosea, I want you to love your wife just as much as I love the Israelites. And I want us to understand this, Scott, is an awesome few scriptures you need to get on a little card, memorize, so you can just pray that. But Bob and I could tell you probably 10 to 15, and I'm serious, little stories that Bob got to come home and tell me about after I prayed this over and over by reversing the sex.
But we're not going to tell all of them, are we?
But Bob would have so many things happen with different events due to me praying daily. Lord, just open his eyes, and God would just use a sense of humor of different things that would happen. And there, some of them Bob has been opened up and shared to you all in his devotionals and in his books. But I want to tell you, if you're faithful, if you will pray, you do not know what God is doing on the other side mm-hmm. of that mountain. Mm-hmm. And over and over again, and I knew that God, at that time, Bob would call up yelling at me, was I exposing him, was I calling the other person, and all of these things, but it really wasn't. God was just revealing things and just exposing different situations.
Let me give you one example. The other person and I went to a dinner party, the kind where you have assigned seating that was above my league, but I was there. Sitting across from us was a very prominent woman, and she was telling how her brother was about to be getting out of the service when he was killed, and the same thing had happened to Charlene's brother. Well, I had a temporary lapse of memory, forgot who I was with, and I spun to my left to the other woman, and I said, that sounds like the same thing that happened to your brother.
Oh.
Her brother was alive and well. Now, that's one of those crawl under the table moments.
Oops.
God does that to prodigals repeatedly. But I think the biggest mystery of marriage restoration, of this whole separation, divorce process, is how does the other person have so much power? And I'm afraid I really can't give you an answer. We're so enthralled with that other person, the acceptance when we're courting them, whatever it is, that we're so afraid we're going to lose them. And then we have a wife at home. You know, the Jim Elliot saying I've used a dozens of times. You know, he is a fool who keeps that he cannot keep to give up that. Well, anyway, you know what it means. I'll get it backwards. But God does things. You may think everything is going smooth. Your prodigal is just having a great life. They're prospering. You see how they're dressed, the car they're driving, the money. They always have dollars in their pockets. But you don't know what's happening when you're not around. And they're not going to come to you and say, things are bad until things really get bad. When that happens, that's your sign that restoration's on the way.
Amen.
And sadly, we know some standards who at that stage say, you know what? I don't want you. Here they fought and done spiritual battle to get their spouse back and out of that other relationship. When it starts happening, when they're seeing the labor pains for their restored marriage, they then decide, you know, I don't want it after all. But it's a great mystery why we treat the other person as nurturing and with all the care as we do when we have a covenant spouse that we're just walking all over.
I think that the Lord took me and told me very distinctly, is in Ephesians 6, that it was not, and I think that I cannot say this enough because everybody looks at me and doesn't remember this scripture, it's Ephesians 6.
Mm-hmm.
And it says very distinctly, and this is why I should never have divorced Bob, but it says, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in his might.
the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This, what we're fighting and why this is so hard and why they're so blinded and deceived, is that it is a spiritual battle.
Mm-hmm.
You are fighting with the demons from hell and Satan and all his demons, and you're thinking you're not going to be able to do it. That is why I believe that in other scriptures that we have, it talks about binding and loosing, and it is a spiritual battle. We need to know we've got spiritual weapons, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Bob came home, and he knew he had been in a spiritual battle with the devil. Don't you agree, Bob?
Well, I knew it long before I came home. But that was the finale of it. You know, I think we prodigals are playing with fire, and we don't want to really admit where we are. We don't want to face it. I've written about the time that we were at a restaurant, and these other person signed a credit card for a meal with my signature, Mrs. Robert E. Steinkamp, and she said something, I want to see how it's going to look, and that scared me, because I thought there's never going to be, that's not, I know Charlene's signature, and this isn't it, but yet that's where she perceived we were headed, that's where I was giving her every indication we were headed, but I think you need to be alert that when God puts openings in your stand to minister to your spouse, you step through them. You don't take tally of, well, how good have they been to me this week, or did they pay the child support this month? I could have called Charlene at any hour, any day for anything, and she would have gone along with whatever I needed. And I don't even think, I mean, that's make it or break it time for a lot of marriages.
Right. I believe that we need to know we're in a spiritual battle, and that you love your spouse unconditionally, and if your spouse calls up and says, I need help, you're going, what would Jesus do? That's just all I can say. Mm-hmm. What would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
And he would go help them, and it teaches that, and that's why I said start reading the Gospels. If you haven't read the Gospels, just keep reading the red in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, Scott, will help you know what you need to do and teach your son more than anything else. The Psalms may be a little bit too much for you right now, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell stories about Jesus and all that he did. And I think that's, we got to remember, you know, that's what we need to do. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion,
mm-hmm.
looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. You know, the Lord gave me Luke chapter 15 with the prodigal son, and I was to love Bob unconditionally as the father, or as the spouse waiting. And remember, the prodigal squandered all their wealth, as Bob just said, in wild living. Bob, mm-hmm. that was you, wouldn't you say? You know. And that is where so many spouses get upset, because their spouses are so far off. But we've got to remember, they're blinded. And mm-hmm. Luke 15 is why Bob and I love Luke 15, because in verse 17, as Bob can tell you, he came to his senses. He had a Holy Spirit conviction, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want to share anything more? Any of you, Scott, Carl?
Well, yeah, if I could say something about what Bob just said about opportunities for standers to show their spouses, to show the prodigal love. And not let the prodigals, don't let your anger kind of come up and prevent something like that. I recently had an opportunity to do something like that. And in this past 2 years, there's been lots of damage and stuff in our relationship. But But recently I got to do something something truly good for my wife, something that I really felt moved to do, but it did come against me saying, you know, does she really deserve me doing something like this? Like, I get treated like this, why would I want to do something, you know, nice? And even as I was performing it or whatever, my motives, they were put up in question. People questioned my motives and stuff. All I can say is I went through it, and the response from my wife wasn't, initially it wasn't very good at all. And after that, I was a little bit concerned about my motives as well. So I went to a small little church, and I sat down there for an hour, and I just asked God. I opened up my Bible, I did a word study, and I asked God to convict me of anything if I was doing the right thing. And I came back in there. I wasn't necessarily convicted of anything, but I did. It's, and I can say with Carla and her husband being around and stuff, that I feel the temptation a lot to not necessarily reciprocate in a positive way when you have all this bad stuff happening to you. But the one thing that I do know is that God's message is that He is faithful, and that and those good things, even though they may not have an immediate, you might not see what immediately happens because of it, or even the immediate reaction you get is a negative one. It's still honored, and if your intentions are good when you're doing it, then it is a good thing, and you shouldn't let be defeated because of bad stuff happening or the possibility of things.
I agree with that. I agree. We have to look at our spouses through the eyes of God and be forgiving. And a lot of times we have that pent up resentment and anger and frustration because it's not working out. And you know, the marriage is falling apart. But when you come to understand that, you have to have forgiveness. You have to, you know, ask that person to forgive you, and then ask God to forgive you, and not hold things against them, because it's just not a good, it's not a good place. And you know, you have to look at them like God would look at them, very forgiving. And not hold grudges, because that's only hurting, not only hurting the marriage, it's hurting you, and it's hurting your relationship with God, and your relationship with God comes first.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're at a time where we need to open up to prayer.
Can I interrupt you just a second?
Sure.
Something I meant to do in the beginning, I neglected to. I've asked Eddie to get on the phone, and he's there. I want us to pray for the people of Haiti, for all that they're going through. You can only imagine what this is doing to marriages, so it is related to what we do here, but I'd just like for Eddie to pray for just a couple minutes for the people of Haiti.
Okay, and then let me, before he does that, then Carla and Scott and Linda, what we do is popcorn prayers, just, you know, short little prayers that as the Holy Spirit leads you. Scott, we sure want you to pray for all the men standers and all the wives that are in the far country. But you, Carla, you may want to pray for someone with the kids. The kids will grow in the Lord. But, you know, everyone pick whatever subject the Lord, Holy Spirit, will tell you. And we'll just do back and forth until 5:30, and then we'll close. But Eddie's been a real prayer warrior for our ministry and for many people for quite a period of time. And we praise the Lord, and you know, there's a lot of husbands and wives that have lost their spouses and children, and we really need to continue, all of us, to pray for Haiti and all the needs that are needed out down there right now. Eddie, please start.
This is Eddie from Fort Lauderdale. Most gracious and kind Heavenly Father, as we come to you in Jesus' name, thanking you for your goodness, thanking you for your mercy, thanking you for your truth. For you said not a sparrow would fall from heaven that thy Father does not take notice of. Lord, and our hearts are overwhelmed when we think of the devastation that's happened to Haiti. Lord, we just can't imagine not being without food or water or shelter or the necessary things of life. It just seems unimaginable what would happen. No, during the Hurricane Wilma here, that we were put in uncomfortable conditions with no lights, but we did have water, our telephones were connected, and a few of the stores were reopened so that we could get ice and food. that would sustain us, Lord. We thought that was terrible. But now as we think of Haiti, how much worse it is. The people don't, some don't even know where they're at. Mm-hmm. Some are still in the rubble that they haven't been found.
Mm-hmm.
Our hearts go out that you would bless those people, that you would encourage them, that some way may the message of God and of Jesus come to them to realize that He is caring for them, that He loves them, that if they don't know Him, they will turn to Jesus,
Amen.
That He will help them in
Amen.
This hour, that He would comfort them. That's what the Scripture says, that the abiding of the Holy Ghost, what it would do for us, it would bring to our remembrance. It would give that compassion. We would pray in the Spirit for things that we know not of, or how to pray, that the Spirit would take over and would speak for us, would intercede. We pray, God, that you will help those countries, those neighboring places that are sending in the essentials of life, Lord, that they will be appropriated strictly for the people in Haiti, that they'll not be absconded and put on the market for a price, but it will go to those people, that you would bless them, that the ports and the land around would be begin to clear up to where they could get ships in closer, and that roads would be able to come in from the Dominican Republic. Lord, you know this situation. You know what is going on. You said that in the last days that there would be earthquakes in divers places. There would be all kind of things, the earth groaning for the day of the Lord. Lord, we pray that you would keep us in mind that your coming is very near, that these people, these souls are precious in the eyes of God, that not a one of them that dies is not noticed. Lord, we pray that you would bless our missionaries that are there in the country, that are in many of the areas, Lord. Bless them and strengthen them. This will be a time that they will be able to proclaim the gospel, that you would bless and sustain them, that you would help them, that every penny that goes for the effort, Lord, would be multiplied, that you would stretch that you would bless the people, that you would give them wisdom and knowledge in the government to know how to care for the people, and that people in the country surrounding and over the world would have that response to know that we are our brother's keeper, and that it's up to us to help and to meet
Amen.
The needs of these dear people that are suffering so much. Oh God, we thank you for all of the things that we've asked, and we're believing that you've heard us and that you will continue to bless those people, and that you will bless those that give of a willing heart, because we're asking it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Father, we just praise your great and holy name, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us. This tragedy in Haiti has shown us how wonderfully blessed you have given this country and us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've given us and everything that you're going to continue to bless us with. Lord, we know that you are the creator of heaven and earth, and that you love us, and that we are your children, and that you are watching over us. And we also know, Father God, that everything is possible with you when we believe in you. Lord, we know that Satan is out to steal, kill, and destroy our families. And we know that this is an attack on our entire family and not just the husband and wife, Lord. So we pray that you will bind Satan from these families, that you will prevent him from hurting the spouses and the children who are involved, Lord. Lord, this is a way for us to teach our children that marriage isn't a covenant. That marriage is a covenant, and that we will honor it, and that we can teach them about God's love by showing them how to love a spouse who is cruel, who is mean, who has left us, and that we can show them that this is God's will for our life, to love those who persecute us. Lord, we know that your word tells us that when we walk through the fire, we will not be burned, because you are with us. And we praise your name for that, Lord. We praise you that you are strengthening
Amen.
Us and holding us up, and we thank you for this ministry that you've given us, Lord, so that we can see that we're not alone, that Satan is trying to tell us that we're alone and that there's nobody out there who cares about us. But we know that that's not true because of this ministry, Lord, and we praise you for that. And we thank you for Bob and Charlene and for them being there every day when we need a word of encouragement, Lord. And Lord, I know that nothing is too hard for you, and I know that you are just going to send such blessings on us this year, that there is going to be so many miracles and so many wonderful marriage restorations this year because of this ministry. And
Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you, Lord God, that you have afforded us to come together and to stand with other standers and just support, be in support of what they're going through. Keep your ever-watching eyes on marriages that are rooted and grounded in your word. Become a shield and buckler to us, Lord God. Give us a solid ground to stand on as we trust in your reconciliation for our marriages. I pray for all couples going through a stormy time and request your intervention, Lord God, that no marriage ends up on the rock. I pray that you will come, become their coxswain so that the Holy Spirit guides them through the troubled waters over the course of their marriage. Father God, I pray that you just mature us. You give us spiritual maturity to strive for love and acceptance and forgiveness. Give them strength, Lord God, to look up and allow their look-ups to change their outlook and help us to focus on your power as you come as close as they will allow you to alter in their agenda for their lives forever. Father, we just thank you for standing in the gap. We thank you for allowing us to come together and just worship and praise you. Lord God, we love you, and we know that all over this land, Father God, that you are going to restore marriages, and you're going to bring those prodigals back home and back into their families, Father God, in an instant. And we just praise and we trust you right now for what you're going to do in our lives. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I'd like to thank you for letting us all be involved in this and supporting us through all these troubles. I pray for families all over the world. I pray for your presence to be shown in all families, especially those who aren't rooted firmly in you. I pray especially for the families that are fractured and broken apart, for husbands that are dealing with separation. I pray that you'll speak especially loud to them and help them become firm in you so they can be leaders for their family. I pray for the parents to raise children properly and ground them firmly in you. I pray that you'll be able to bless families and bring them together. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for all the trials and tribulations that you do send our way. Help us to understand that they are for your purpose, to strengthen us in you, that we may magnify you and be worthy to be with you. Thank you for loving us and sending your son to die for us. Help us husbands especially understand the love of Christ so we may in turn may reciprocate that towards our wives. Help clear out all the anger and the bitterness and the lies and deceptions that divorce and separation bring. Help reunite husbands and wives. In your name we ask it, Lord.
Lord, we just praise you and thank you for all the marriages that have been restored these past few months and years, and we thank you for the restored marriages as Linda and her husband and so many other marriages have been restored. We are all seeking in your face for you to restore and resurrect, rescue the prodigals that are in the far country right now. Go after them, speak to them so very loudly, shake them as you did in Luke 15, that the prodigal son came to his senses. And that is what we're praying today, Lord, right now, that you will open the prodigal's eyes, that he will come to his senses, that he will turn from the darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we just ask that you will move the mountains of circumstances that is blocking them to see the truth, and the truth will be set free for them. We ask you and that you will fill them with the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that they need, that they will know the truth, and that they will see the truth, that they will hear the truth, that men and women, pastors, and every time they turn on the TV or the radio, that you will speak to them with special messages for the prodigal. Lord, we know your mighty power. Nothing is too hard. And greater is he that is in every one of the standards than he that is in the world. And no weapon formed against
them is going to prosper. And we just pray today that you will increase every standard's faith that is listening today. Lord, increase their faith, their hope, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and have them come to know you so personally that you would, that they will never even doubt that their marriage is not going to be restored. Because it says in Romans 15, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And we claim that and believe it for everyone that is listening to us today, that they will receive that as a message of hope and encouragement, that they will know that the devil is deceiving and lying to their spouse, but the God is going to crush Satan under their feet. And Satan is gone. He lost the victory at the cross, and he's lost the victory for our spouses. And we just praise you and thank you for what you're going to do. And I just thank you that you have taken what we thought was a hopeless, dead marriage and see what you have done in our marriage. And what you are going to do in these marriages is even going to be greater and mightier, and for their children who are going to serve the Lord in mighty ways also. May we never doubt what God's going to do with children and grandchildren. We need to continue to pray and stand for the rest of our lives.
If we can help you in any way, we invite you to visit the website of Rejoice Marriage Ministries at www.rejoiceministries.org. Thanks for joining us today as we proclaim that God heals hurting marriages.